missing fun and info. Benfo. Or would that be funfo? Either way, it's time for It's Your Health and It Ain't Rocket Science. Here are Dr. Decker Weiss, Dr. Holly Lucille, and Lisa Davis.
Hello, this is Dr. Weiss, and I'm joined with Lisa and Holly as always. Heal your mind, heal your body. And in this segment, we were talking about what role the mind plays and what role does the mind play with the body, and how exactly do they communicate and interact with each other? It's something you hear about mind-body medicine all the time, but how does that really happen, and are we really doing it, and does it really work? Holly, Lisa, does this really work? Is this worth pursuing, this mind-body angle to health?
You know, I'm really excited. This is Dr. Holly back in the house after being to Hawaii. So I hope I'm not too waterlogged and I can actually behave myself and offer great information. But I love that we're doing this topic in this segment, because as an HVAC doctor, I've always like the whole body, right? Treat the whole body. That's what you do. And I've always been sort of interested that there's actually even a category called mind body. I mean, I know it's important because people do sometimes get very reductionistic and focus just on their body. Like if I have a hurt or I have physical diagnosis. But for me, I've always like, how can you separate the two? They're just completely, you can't. It's the whole body. It's mm-hmm. There's no. So it's been interesting to me. And I think we're going to have a lot of fun. We've got great guests, and I'm really excited to explore this.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You know, I found some really interesting research, too, according to some researchers from the Harvard Medical School and the California Pacific Medical Center. They talk about that there is considerable evidence that an array of mind-body therapies can be used as effective adjuncts to conventional medical treatment for a number of common clinical conditions. Some of the most common, they said, where they saw the most efficacy were in coronary artery disease, headaches, insomnia, incontinence, improving post-surgical outcomes, chronic low back pain, and there's more as well. Some other interesting information that I found was that doctors and nurses are actually using complementary medicine or mind-body medicine as well. 76% of healthcare workers use CAM, that's a complementary and alternative medicine, compared to 63% of the general population. Mm. So I wonder what you guys think about that as naturopathic physicians.
So the people who know are doing it. That's what I'd say. What do you think, Holly?
But are they telling their patients to do it? That's what I'm wondering. Sorry, Holly.
I think it's great. You know, I mean, I think that a lot of these things come with connotations, you know, and I think that's what's really important. Like, even when you say complementary alternative or CAM, you know, it's almost like complementary and alternative to what? I think one of the most important things is we know, because mind body too is like, wow, whoa, woo woo, hang on, you know, witchcraft or what have you. I know that there's a lot of misconceptions out there and some of these things carry heavy connotations. But being able to really talk to people and say that there's value in so much out there. I mean, we have so much to offer people when it comes to choices and their healthcare. And for us to dumb down the connotations and really explain that, look, yes, there's evidence, but also talk to people that have done it. Talk to your friends. Look at these stats from the supermom, super stat lady, Lisa, who says that 67% of healthcare practitioners are actually using these modalities on themselves.
Well, you know, I'd love to share a personal story. Oh, Decker, is it okay if I tell my story?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Well, for years I struggled with some health issues, and I had a lot of repressed emotions, and I started doing something called bioenergetic therapy, which is really more than talk therapy where you just sit and you talk about your issues, but you got to get in your body, and you get in these, it sounds kind of weird, but you get in these kind of uncomfortable postures where you kind of feel physically not quite right, and I can't explain it, but it helps you tap deeper. And I experienced such lightness after the sessions, and I would cry. I mean, I'd like fall over crying. Like I couldn't even stand up. I mean, just these things about my mom dying or things that I'd never really dealt with. And my health improved. And when I was able to use my body and my mind together, it really changed my life. I mean, I just think it's absolutely incredible. So there you have it. No more need to do any research.
I want to throw this story out. Well, go ahead.
The story that you tell, Lisa, is so, because that, for me, that's evidence in and of itself. You know, it's like you didn't need a double-blind placebo-controlled study to have that experience and then to share it with folks. That is evidence in and of itself. So, I mean, you can always quantify it by like, this is my experience, but please let, you know, let's share, because that's how we heal. We can share these stories. Storytelling is so good. And I think that's awesome.
Well, and especially from an authority figure, when they're looking at you and they're like, well, wow, you have radio shows and you're doing all these things and you're using mind body medicine. One of the things that I tell my patients is they always want to know, okay, did the challenges in my mind cause my disease, or did the disease then affect my mind? And they want to go back and forth, and they drive themselves crazy going, which one is it? And I always tell them it doesn't matter. Whenever somebody, for example, you fall and you break your hip, there's going to be a traumatic emotional piece to that. But if you're upset and depressed and you didn't eat well and your hip was weakened because of that, so when you fell, it broke, then that might have been before and it led to it. So what I always try and tell them, it doesn't matter, because any, to me, and I'm going to throw this out there, to me, any chronic disease is interconnected with mind and body.
Completely.
Is that fair? Is that fair, though?
Yeah, well, I really think that trauma that happens when you're young builds up in your body. I mean, that might sound kind of corny, but I think stress after stressor after stressor, and then eventually you hold all that tension in. And I've known people who've had incredibly traumatic childhoods who have all kinds of ailments, and they've been to the Mayo Clinic, and they've been here, and they've been there, and they try this, and nothing really addresses it until they get to the mental emotional part. I've seen it time and time again.
Okay, is it fair to say that nobody really recovers without dealing both? Or because I think people feel pressure sometimes by mind-body. Holly, I mean, is that something you say you've got to get these emotions with it, taken with it? Or what if they're not ready to deal with it? But
well, here's what I've seen in my practice with folks is that I make the analogy of a football field. And they do so much physically to move the ball up the field. But I got to tell you, when we get down to it and explore more of who they are, and some of their blocks, it's like there's a net there. They can continue to do all of these wonderful, lovely modalities and dietary changes and lifestyle changes. But when they don't go deeper, I feel like they move the ball up the field to a certain point, and then guess what? Mm-hmm. They just stop. There's like a net there, and they're never going to get through it. They're never going to break through it until this piece comes along. And eventually, for most people, it does.
I completely agree. And I always say that the homeopathy, the use of dilute substances, I always like to use it with detoxing and herbs and whatever it is, because it seems to help with that energy mind body piece. It's an energy form of medicine. And I think it helps with that level without the patient, especially if they're not really ready to jump right into it, to go for it. Because a lot of my patients are concerned about opening up these areas. And
so it's interesting, Dr. Weiss. You mentioned homeopathy, but once again, it's like, that's a huge connotative word. Like, what is that? People are often say, you're a homeopath, right? And I was like, well, a little bit different, because homeone means same, okay? And pathos, disease. So when you're talking about it, what it truly means is a real huge school of thought that it's like cures like, giving an infinitesimal dose of whatever you have, and it can run on the emotional level too. But for example, on the physical level, if you had poison ivy or poison oak, you would give that plant Roostox, I believe it is, you know, that's distilled down to. Yeah. So, and that's that idea and that system. And you're right. I think homeopathy has the ultimate of do no harm attached to it, but it can work on the mental, emotional, whole body level, where it can grease the skids for people opening up just a little bit more.
Yeah, so
I would just like to throw in. Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Decker.
Well, I would like.
Oh
to
no,
throw
I was just going
to
say I. go ahead.
I would just say I want to add in real quick that for listeners out there, you don't have to lay on a couch and talk about your problems. There are modalities that will help you connect the mind body, Lisa.
But that is, oh my God. Okay, Decker, I swear we're in sync. I was about to say that. And I was going to say, for anyone who has been unsuccessful with talk therapy, I would really look into bioenergetic therapy or any other therapy where it's more than just sitting around chatting. Not that I'm putting that down.
Yeah, there's something out there for everybody. You got to try it out. Well, listen, when we come back, we're going to answer the question, can attitude affect health and healing? We've got a wonderful guest, so please stay with us.